Boeing allegedly misled investors, and it's paying a heavy price. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Boeing has agreed to pay $200 million to the Securities and Exchange Commission over statements it made following two catastrophic crashes of 737 MAX planes, in which 346 people died. The SEC says in the aftermath, the company and its former CEO misled investors. Marketplace's Nova Sapphos here with more. Hi, Nova.
Good morning.
So these crashes happened 3 or 4 years ago. What's the SEC saying about Boeing's response at the time?
Yeah, the first crash was, in fact, in Indonesia, Lion Air Flight 610. That was in October of 2018. Afterwards, the SEC says Boeing figured out that it had a design problem with a new automatic system meant to prevent stalling. But publicly, the company was suggesting pilot error and bad maintenance were at issue. Now, after the second crash, 6 weeks later, the SEC says former CEO Dennis Muilenburg knew there were serious questions about the regulatory oversight process during the plane's development, and yet he publicly said that that process had been normal. Both Boeing and Muilenburg are not admitting any wrongdoing, but will pay fines, $200 million for Boeing, $1 million for Muilenburg.
There's been a lot of fallout from the MAX crashes. Where does this SEC action fit into the bigger picture?
There has. For one, Boeing has already settled with the Justice Department. That was last year. It agreed to pay a lot more money, $2.5 billion. Muilenburg was fired. Boeing has been sued by victims' families and shareholders. Congress passed legislation to improve FAA oversight. The agency has made some reforms. And Boeing said in a statement that it also has improved safety practices, Sabri.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Sapphos. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The medicine for inflation is harsh. The Federal Reserve's been raising interest rates, and that is slowing the U.S. economy. The Fed makes projections about just how much the economy might slow every time it raises rates. That includes where the unemployment rate might end up. Right now, it's at 3.7%. Mitchell Hartman has more on where it might go from here.
The Fed now predicts higher borrowing costs and slower economic growth will push unemployment up to 4.4% by next year. That would mean more than a million additional people out of work. Joe Bruzuelas is chief economist at consulting firm RSM.
Anytime the U.S. unemployment rate increases by over 0.5%, it's always fallen into recession within a year. The Fed understands the actual cost, and it's why they've very carefully chosen terms like pain.
If unemployment does start to rise, Andrew Stettner at the Century Foundation says workers will be in for a rude awakening. Federal programs that boosted benefits and eligibility during the pandemic have expired.
Unemployment benefits, on average, less than $400 a week. With food prices and rent so high, it's going to go a lot less far than during the pandemic.
And Stettner says due to cuts in state unemployment programs, fewer laid-off workers will be eligible for benefits. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 1 to 1 3/10% range, with the Dow future down 313 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.769%. There has been an ongoing battle between U.S. defense firms to win a Pentagon contract to develop a new hypersonic missile. Raytheon has won that competition, beating out Boeing and Lockheed Martin. Hypersonic missiles travel through the atmosphere at 5 times the speed of sound. There's been an ongoing arms race with Russia and China to develop the technology. Raytheon stock is up 1.25% in pre-market trading. It's been nearly 5 days since Hurricane Fiona hit Puerto Rico, and much of the island is still without essential services. The storm came days before the 5-year anniversary of Hurricane Maria, which revealed just how fragile the island's infrastructure was. That infrastructure is still vulnerable. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more on what this new storm has meant for people's access to clean water.
For the first 22 years of his life, Fernando Rosario Ortiz lived in Puerto Rico.
Growing up there, you know, we always knew that the water infrastructure could have been better.
He's now a professor of environmental engineering at the University of Colorado Boulder. After Hurricane Maria 5 years ago, he led a team back to Puerto Rico to study water quality issues that storm had exacerbated. And he says problems start with the water system when you have power issues.
Once you have loss of power, then obviously there's loss of power for the pumps, for distribution system, right? So then water is not available.
He says making the power grid more resilient will keep the water flowing. After Maria 5 years ago, many residents were without power for months. Now, officials hope to get electricity into homes a lot sooner this time around, but people are still without it. Fernando Rivera is director of the Puerto Rico Research Hub at the University of Central Florida.
It's increasingly hot on the island right now, so access to water is completely necessary. And yes, there's a sense of resignation and frustration, especially after what were supposedly be lessons learned after Hurricane Maria.
The influx of billions in federal funding after Maria was supposed to make Puerto Rican infrastructure more resilient. Bernard Yeros at Moody's Analytics says 5 years ago, the island was in economic turmoil, and those resources went a long way. Now, it clearly didn't solve all the infrastructure issues, but Yeros says that any new influx of money after this storm isn't going to go as far, and it's due to the overall economy.
You know, tight labor markets, higher inflation, that just limits the bang for the buck, the economic bang for the buck from any, you know, potential, federal-led, reconstruction efforts.
The government has set up water trucks across the island where residents can stand in line to fill containers to use until their water is turned back on. Some residents are using water from streams if they're far from a distribution center. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are Brian Allison, Justin Dueler, and Nick Esposito. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.